Hi, I'm Forrest Griffin.
Brian Caraway.
And Misha Tate.
What's up, guys? This is Joseph Benavidez, UFC flyweight.
Hi, this is Greg Jackson, and you're listening to It's MMA Zing, and that is an amazing pun.
Get it? Like MMA, but amazing? Amazing.
Radio.
Welcome to It's Amazing Radio. I am your host, Dr. Law, and joining me this week, the legend himself, Lavender Gooms.
Hey, Bobby. And I would like to wish you a happy March 11th, which, as we all know, is also a happy National Promposal Day. Do you remember who you took for your senior prom, Bobby?
I went to junior prom. I didn't go to senior prom, actually.
You didn't go to senior prom?
No, I kind of was just like, I'm good. I was good after junior.
You see, that's some real suburb shit right there. Because those of us in the city, we didn't have a junior prom. All we had was the scene. Our only true, like, conventional dance that we had, that, like, you know, you suburb people have, it was just the senior prom. That was it for us.
We had dances every month. And then, like...
Well, like, we had dances in my high school as well. But our dances were more like... the house parties you would have in the city. So it's really just you grinding up on chicks. You know, that's all it was for us.
That was frowned upon in the suburbs. I remember, this is just off topic, but we were, I think it was like eighth grade is when Chronic came out. Chronic 2001 came out.
Yep.
I think it was eighth grade. When, like, Forgot About Dre, remember that song? And, like, remember the whole Eminem, Motherfuckers Act Like That Forgot About Dre, that whole stretch, right?
Yeah.
So they would, like, not play that part of the song, right? But, like, a bunch of fucking 13-year-olds, we all fucking just bellowed that shit with gusto. And then I remember, like, one of the teachers was like, we're gonna stop playing hip-hop if this continues. So everybody just got up and left the dance. So then they had to change their mind and they started playing it again. And I was so proud of us that this is what we took a stand for. Eminem cursing. Anyway, sorry.
13-year-olds at their priority.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, besides that, we also have a happy National Worship of Tools Day, happy National Johnny Appleseed Day, mm-hmm. and of course, happy National Funeral Director and Mortician Recognition Day.
I mean, that last one's a little grim. But a bit on cue after our guy MVP went out there with the Undertaker entrance. That was kind of cool. I dug that.
Yeah, and also Anthony Johnson sending Francis Ngannou to the Shadow Realm on Friday.
Anthony Joshua.
Eh, tomato, tomato. I've heard it both ways.
Fair enough. We also, you know, 311. Those of us who grew up in the suburbs in the 90s, it was a band. 311, you know, the song Down might mean something to you, Mike, or All Mixed Up.
Nope.
Come Original, another good one. Just saying.
Nope.
Couple good albums they put out there, man.
Not even one of those.
Dude, they went like platinum a few different times.
Look, man, I'm not saying they weren't popular. I'm just saying I had like no white people in my junior high and elementary school.
You didn't hear one song with a fucking guitar until you were in fucking Syracuse.
Okay. I remember the one white kid that was in my junior high. If he's listening, shout out Marcel.
This is like Everybody Hates Chris, where is
that what it was? All right. There was Marcel and half of Ruben Santiago. Okay.
And of course, happy birthday to my lovely girlfriend Rocio. So
yeah, you know, getting
that in early. You know, just making sure.
I heard somebody got a popcorn maker.
That's right. I'm just generous as hell. The air popping popcorn machine. Alrighty. We have no DJ Mark this week. We'll see. Hopefully next week. But my man sent his picks in, so those picks we did last week went official. Shout out to Lavender Gooms here, going 8-0, which wasn't easy because it wasn't like there was a bunch of big favorites here, bro. Like, you went 8-0. I went in seven. I went 7-1, and my one loss, let's be honest, kind of for the vibes, my guy Song Yadong. It was just, you know, not backing out of it. I did pick my guy, and it was looking good at first. I was honestly, he lost, and I was still like, yeah, Song Yadong is gonna be a thing for a while. He's only like 26. Mark went 6-2. I believe he missed Almeida, Jolton Almeida, and
I forget the other one.
Yeah,
but, Chalk also went 6-2.
Chalk also went 6-2. Mark went on Chalk for all we know. He picked Peter. He picked Peter Yan correctly. Who did he pick? Gilbert Burns. He did pick Gilbert Burns. Jackie Flatnose took care of that one. Honestly, Gilbert Burns had that shit locked up. It looked like with about a minute left, and then things took a turn. All right, we're going to get into UFC 299, and then we're going to get into a little bit of Big Francis getting knocked out. But, you know, he'll rest easy with that $20 million they paid him. Anthony Joshua seems like a good dude, by the way. Just in general. Very respectful. I'm going to talk a little bit about Cedric Doumbé. Not as nearly as exciting time as last time with the, you know, mattress. And then we're going to have a 57-year-old man fight a 28-year-old, or however old this kid is.
And no, this is not a video off World Star.
Yeah. And I feel that people are talking about Mike Tyson like it's still 1994 around here, Mike. Just putting that out there. I'm not saying I'm not saying he can't knock the kid out. I'm just saying this guy's been beating up aging fighters a lot. We know how the score goes with these. They all get tired. But
he's never beaten up an aging fighter who was once the world heavyweight champion.
I mean, fair. That's fair. Let's get into it, though, Mike. Sugar Sean O'Malley, we all pick. By the way, okay, let me take some credit here because we want to puff our chests out. All these people, Mike, had written off Dustin Poirier. They let this line get to fucking nearly plus 200, right? Oof. Do you know who picked Dustin Poirier? All three of us.
That's right.
Because all of us like Benoit Saint-Denis, but we're all like, yo, man, Dustin Poirier is real good still, right? He is? Okay.
I do believe all three of us, well, both of us last week, we were kind of wondering why are people writing the epitaph of Dustin Poirier's career.
I know he got knocked out by Gaethje, but I'm like, I don't know. People get knocked out sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, getting KO'd by Gaethje isn't necessarily like a horrible thing.
Sean O'Malley, Marlon Chito Vera. The weigh-in people, very strong Chito fan base. Even the ones at the fights. More people rooting for Chito for sure than Sean O'Malley. Sean O'Malley, I think best way describing what we saw out there was moved, hit him with everything, hit him from every angle, landed a murderous knee. I think we all kind of recognized that Chito was not going to win a decision either way. And, you know, the way Chito fights has always been like slower starter, later rounds. And Sean kept going. And round four, it felt like Chito started picking up. Chito started doing stuff in round four. I was like, oh, here we go. Now we're starting. Sean put his foot on the gas, kept going. But for a really good shot by Chito to end the fight in the fifth. Really good performance by Sean O'Malley, man. I'm do my best not to sound like I'm some sort of fucking hater, which I don't like that term at all, Mike, because it's like some of you people just use the word hater to dismiss any valid criticism that exists. Mm-hmm. Thought Sean O'Malley fought a great fight. Thought he did a great job. I think there's times like this where I think like we have been watching this sport a long time. Even you at this point, you're 15 years in almost, I think. Like people call this like masterful. And like, I don't know. I saw the people calling it like that was like the greatest knees, like one of the greatest knees landed in a fight ever. And I'm like, the guy was still standing. There was this guy named Jose Aldo who hit a guy with two knees at once one time.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking about.
Vanderlei kneed Quinton through the ropes. Like, things have happened here. But anyway, I thought he did a great job, man. I thought he had a complete performance. I think people have criticized him a lot for anything. I mean, look, it was a great performance against a guy. He was, not that this was a gimme. He lost to this man. And by the way, just because you beat him this time, you don't get to go out there and be like, I think we can all agree I'm undefeated. No, we don't. You were knocked unconscious, buddy.
That's not how win losses work.
I understand very often people get low kicked and they don't get drop foot, but you did. So it happened. And you lost. It's okay. Everybody loses. GSP lost to Matt Hughes. beat him two times after, he still lost the first one. You know, Chris Weidman, that first,
the only time I would say, okay, you can't count, like, you can go ahead and say you're undefeated. Mm. I would say, at least off the top of my head, the only fighter who can make that claim and people are like, yeah, I see that, is John Jones.
Yeah.
He's the only one.
Okay? Even then, my dude, you know, that rule is a rule that exists. But yeah, like, still. Anyway, I thought he did a great job, man. I thought he did a great job. I thought he had a performance he needed to have. I did not. People criticizing him for not getting a knockout. You're not going to knock out Chito Vera, man. You don't hit hard. No one in this weight class hits hard enough to do it yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not something he really should get a lot of griping for. Like, as you mentioned, Chito hasn't been knocked out yet. Hell, Chito, if I read correctly, Chito hasn't even been knocked down yet.
Yeah, he didn't go down.
In the UFC.
He didn't go down from that knee, and it sounded like somebody hit him across the face with a baseball bat.
Yeah. But it was a great performance by Sean O'Malley. When you do consider that he lost before, and when you consider it against the backdrop that the way he lost before was that he got calf kicked, and, you know, then everything from there went downhill in that fight. And I think one thing you can definitely see in this fight is I think he made a very concerted effort to really stay on his horse, and he did a pretty good job, I thought, of checking leg kicks and switching his stances as well. Because I definitely did see he did get a couple of leg kicks in, Chito, in the maybe second and third round. I would have loved to see
more of those, by the way. But yeah, go ahead.
But I thought that Sean did a good job of limiting the damage and also being cognizant of them while also getting in and out with his shots. I thought it was a great performance. Masterful, I think, is a bit much. Dominant, dominant seems like way too strong an adjective. He definitely won every round.
I thought he was dominant. I'll give him that one. I mean, he landed 230 fucking significant strikes. So props. Well done there. I want to see how many leg kicks he ate, because I would have loved to seen more.
He definitely ate enough where I saw, I think in some videos, I think with Megan Olivi after the fact, I think his foot was in a cast, I think, and like in one of those soft air shell.
34? They're saying he landed 34 leg kicks?
Chito?
34? That's a lot. I'm counting as significant. I was wondering what makes a strike significant, to be honest. Honestly, I thought the kid, I thought he did great. I did not enjoy the first thing he did was try to fight. Let me be clear about this. Sean O'Malley wants to get paid. He wants to make a lot of money, and he recognizes that Ilya is a big deal already. I know I'm like old man screaming at clouds here, Mike, but he's got one title defense. Ilya's got zero title defenses. Do you know
can't what? Can't have a champ versus champ yet.
O'Malley. No. Okay. They made Alex beat Max three times before he got to move up to fight Islam. He had to fight three times. He had to beat Max. He had to beat Brian Ortega. He had to beat fucking like six other. He had to beat so many people before they let him do it. And like, you are champion. If you want to move up, that's fine. Give up the belt. It's fine. Just give up the belt. It's okay. Move up. You don't want to be champion anymore. Go ahead. Because you have a responsibility when you're champion to the division, and no one's talking about this shit, but you fucking do, okay? He has a responsibility to defend that championship. If he beats, you know what? If he beats Merab Dvalishvili, and then he beats Corey Sandhagen, and then he beats Umar Nurmagomedov, okay, go up. Ilya Topuria owes Alex Volkanovski a rematch if Alex wants it. He has to fight Max Holloway. He has to fight Brian Ortega. He probably owes Movsar Evilov a fight, which I don't know what that poor bastard did to be considered the most boring fight ever when he fought Arnold Allen. It was fine. He's a very grappling heavy attack. It's fine, but it's called winning, bitch. If you win, you just on some level, this is look, if the belts aren't gonna matter, it's fine. Let's just give everybody a trophy at the end of every main event.
At the risk of sounding like an old man along with you, I think normally and historically, a champion versus champion fight normally does occur, as you've mentioned before, when, you know, these are established champions. They've had a string of defenses. And the other side of that is to also say, normally you'll get the fever for a champion versus champion fight when there's not really any intriguing or enticing matchups within your own division. You can't really say that when it's one person who has literally just won the belt and one person who has one title defense against the number five ranked contender.
Yeah, we're big Chito Vera fans over here, man. Everybody should probably recognize that. And like, man, there was at least two people who deserved the title shot more than him.
And to that point, and also, you can't really be calling for champ versus champ fights when you just beat one person. But as you mentioned, there's one other person that a whole bunch of people are clamoring like, yo, my guy is next.
You have we
need to see this.
He has an opportunity to go full heel to and make a bunch of money. Because people fucking love Merab. I don't know how we got here, Mike, but people love Merab. Merab is somehow, with his broken English, is one of the best people on social media. Okay? He's great. And he should have been wearing the red leather jacket. I enjoyed his Miami Vice outfit there. Great. He still looked good. That was good, but like...
Wait, did he never give back the jacket?
No, he did, but he's saying he should have gotten a red jacket. I mean, it was fucking Eddie Murphy outfit from, you know, Raw, right? That's what he was wearing. That still is the best thing that's ever... While it was happening, I was like, Merab's wearing the jacket. Merab's wearing the jacket. I wasn't even paying attention. That's what I want to say. And also, by the way, did you hear them the number of times they kept saying that Sean O'Malley beat the greatest bantamweight ever to win the championship? And while I do think Aljamain has got some claim, I don't remember them calling Aljamain the greatest bantamweight ever one time when Aljamain was champion of this weight class. Do you remember that? Do you remember anything except sheer disrespect going this man's direction from this company while he was champion? Like,
pretty much, yeah.
Honestly, if he didn't, I mean, he deserves a rematch too, if you want to stay.
I just Googled Merab took Shadow Valley's jacket and it made me laugh.
Well, because he's in the middle of the picture smiling. He's just smiling.
The slight clip where with the jacket on, he just hops onto the top of the cage.
Dude, my favorite is still when he's in between them and he's got a look on his face like, this guy doesn't know yet that I got his jacket. That was amazing. Look, I'm not sitting here because people are just like, oh, Merab might get knocked out. Merab gets cracked in a lot of his fights. Henry cracked him. Sean could win that fight, you know? I'd like to see it.
He literally handed him the jacket.
I mean, yeah, I mean,
that's so amazing. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, but like, that's who he should fight.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it at this point. Merab, what is on like a 10-9 fight winning streak at the moment?
I don't remember who he lost to and how long ago it was. He lost to that lake when it was frozen. He went headfirst into it. That was impressive. But
and even on top of that, he did some extra credit and, you know, won his last fight pretty convincingly. So
he was the biggest star on that fucking thing too, man. People lost their goddamn. Remember what he picked up? He picked up an Olympian.
Yeah,
a good one, a gold medalist.
He did Henry Cejudo how like Matt Hughes used to do people.
Yeah, he picked him up and ran across the octagon so he could talk to a social media magnate. So that's a real thing that happened in a fight. Like,
I did enjoy that the crowd in that arena. When Sean O'Malley called out Topuria, they all started booing.
Yeah, nobody.
They're like, oh, look at this pussy.
I don't think he's scared of him. He wants to make money.
I think he's scared of him.
I don't think he's scared of him. Dude, there's a lot of people in that way. He's champion of the. Maybe the deepest division right now. If it's not 155, it's this one. Like, these are stacked divisions. Anyway. Chito, man. God bless you, man. We all love Chito. You know. Says he'll be back. Hopefully. They're 1-1.
Yeah.
But
I think he'd have to win maybe at least two fights, and it had to be two fights against the contenders.
Dustin Poirier and Benoit Saint-Denis. They fought for 7.5 minutes. Dustin Poirier landed 82% of his significant strikes. Benoit Saint-Denis was just waiting in. Kept getting Dustin against the cage. Kept fucking trying to crack him.
Dustin landed that many of the shots?
Yeah, he went 28 of 32. 34. 28 of 34.
Why did it felt like during the fight that Dustin was just getting dominated.
No, he was hitting Benoit the whole time. His Benoit didn't care. He just kept going in. He get 4 sub attempts. He kept jumping for that gilly, as he put it. And then, like, after at the press conference, he's like, I'm never going to stop going for it. All right. He put a meme up of, like, what's that one where, like, the guy's holding his girl's hand and then he's looking at a girl walking past him?
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah,
the girl, I know what you're talking the one about. He's holding her the hand up said game plan. And then the other one, the girl walking away, he was looking at said, jump for the gilly. And I was like, oh, this guy's got jokes. This guy's got jokes. Man, they sent this man out there. They served him up to this guy, man. They really thought they were going to, like, I mean, let's be honest. They booked this fight without Dustin agreeing to it. They just announced it. He had to threaten to not do it because until like they paid him what he was worth. He told Dana White in the Octagon, "You're gonna keep you." He's like, "You want me to fight these young motherfuckers? This is what's gonna happen." That's what he told him. So he knew the score. I came out of this thinking Benoit Saint-Denis is gonna be a problem. Still, this man might want to. There's a couple of young guys who lost tonight. He's one, and Song is another one, where I was like, these guys are here. Like, these guys are going to be something for a while. You know, they're there, right there. Dustin Poirier is a goddamn dog, man.
Outside of a few little tweaks, Benoit Saint-Denis wins this fight.
Yeah.
I think we had the same issue on Saturday, where we were both watching the fight, and it looked like we knew where this fight was headed to. Mm-hmm. Because while apparently Dustin Poirier was landing a lot of his shots, it really didn't seem like they were affecting Saint-Denis at all. Our connections both go out maybe a minute later and the fight's over.
Yeah, I came back to the replay.
It happened that quickly.
Yeah, I came back to the replay. I'm like, oh, shit. All right. Dustin Poirier, man, said he's down to fight Islam in June. Which I'm not sure we need to get yet another title shot to Dustin Poirier, but fucking sure. Why not? I don't know. Dustin Islam's like, I'd like to fight somebody in June, is what he said, basically. I'd like to compete. So
preferably not in America, since he apparently can't get in.
Islam?
Isn't it Islam, though? Oh, no, it's Chimaev that can't get in.
Islam can get in. I mean, hopefully. We haven't seen him fight here since... Where did he fight his last time? He fought in Saudi Arabia. I mean, he fought in Abu Dhabi last time. He fought in Australia, so. Yeah, Benoit will be back. MVP versus Kevin Holland.
Yeesh.
Even you. So I noticed a thing also where people were like wowed by MVP and what he was doing. And I realized none of these people ever watch fucking Bellator ever. Even you, Mike, who never watches Bellator, had seen MVP fight a few times. You're like,
of course.
You're like, this is what it looks like, though. This is what he looks like when he fights a guy. And then Kevin Holland had never been out-weirded before in a fight, ever. And I was thinking Kevin Holland was going to get knocked out until he got that takedown. I'm like, Kevin Holland's about to get knocked out. This is what's coming here.
Now let's just rewind a bit. I think with a lot of people, when it came to MVP, it wasn't just, oh, he fought at Bellator. He's not as good as these people, okay? Because there have been a bunch of people that have come from Bellator and PFL that we have thought, oh, no, they're going to do pretty good. For example, Gaethje in his first fight against Michael Johnson. I don't think I wasn't on the podcast. I was in Japan at that point, but I'm pretty sure none of you were like, oh, Gaethje doesn't stand a shot here. No, when it comes to MVP, that was a special case because even in the lower talent pool of Bellator, he was notorious for fighting fucking
Cans. Here's the thing, though. The last few years, he was not fighting cans. He was fighting what they had. You know, he was fighting their champion. He lost that title fight to Logan Storley. I thought he beat him. But either way, now he's 36, I think.
36, but he still looked very quick.
He looked quick. He looked good. He needs to do more work. I like the idea of him fighting. I saw a name earlier and I liked it. Honestly, real talk. Once he's not in title contention, and Izzy's not in title contention, That's what I want to see.
Well, that'd be an amazing fight.
Because
actually, would it?
Fuck it. Who cares? Make him go up. He's a lot taller than Lanky.
What I mean is stylistically, would it really be a good fight? Just because they're both more like counter punchers, you know, and counter strikers, you know?
We need him to fight somebody who's going to wade in like Forrest Griffin and get smoked, huh? No, I'm just sitting here as the guy who, like, I'm still annoyed, Mike, that, like, when Anderson Silva lost his belt, I remember all of us being like, all right, like, now let's fucking have some fun. Like, I want to see Anderson Silva fight like Kung Lee. And then we didn't have any of that fucking fun, ever. MVP, I like him fighting, I mean, I don't know what, Kevin Holland was ranked 13, Luke at 10, fucking Wonderboy at 8.
See, Wonderboy. Wonderboy for the same reason as Adesanya, don't like that fight.
Yeah, but you gotta just fight somebody. Because,
no, well, I like Luke, but just for me, like in a fight that I think, ooh, this will be entertaining to watch, I don't think MVP and Wonderboy would be very entertaining to watch because they kind of fight the same way.
I don't know.
They both kind of wait for MVP the opponent.
MVP will go in on a guy, man. He'll just go in and fucking kick a guy's kneecap off. I remember that in his last Bellator fight. It was disgusting. Saw the fucking knee cave just cave in. Very weird. I mean, I don't know. He just beat the number 13 guy. The guys in front of him are like, you know, flat-nosed Jackie Maddalena. We'll talk about him in a minute. Luke, Jeff Neal, Wonderboy. Keep him away from Sean Brady, please. Sean Brady will throw him in the air like a pizza. Ian Machado, Gary, that'd be fun. The fuck's going on there? Sorry.
Oh, you're muted, Bobby.
I'm muted?
Oh, not anymore. Yeah, you're good.
Should we stop and restart?
No, you're fine.
Okay. Never mind. Well, hopefully we didn't lose the last, you know, everything after that moment. That's why I'm saying this. Anyway, where were we? Okay, MVP. Kevin Holland, by the way, you got to fight smarter than this, man. You gotta fight smarter than this.
Well, I think you should get with the program, Bobby, that Kevin Holland doesn't have to do anything you think is smart and prudent, okay? Although he did try and get a few takedown attempts at the beginning of the fight. So I'll give him that. But then I give him nothing else after that because he kind of just stopped trying after that.
Okay. Well, that's not ideal. I don't know. We'll see. I just, Kevin Holland, we literally made the pick thinking like Kevin Holland is not going to fight smart enough to win this fight. No, he didn't. So here we are. Gilbert Burns had fucking Jack Della Maddalena, man. He had him. Like, he fucking had him. What? I like Gilbert. That made me sad. Long story short, he fucking had him. He had him. I don't know how Jack got out of that. And then Jack cracked him on when he was getting up. What did he hit him with when he was getting up? Was it like a knee?
I think it was a knee.
Yeah.
Like, I think, was it Gilbert was getting up, and then he kind of just got him in, like, was it a tie plum? And then
just he started beating his ass. Honestly, I thought dude let him get hit way too many times, too. Because I don't think he saw the knee, the ref. I don't think the ref actually saw the knee when it landed. But I'm trying to find what happened here. Okay, Maddalena scurries back to his feet, and Burns follows and charges directly into the cleanest knee one could ever offer. That was before the main event. Burns falls to his back. Maddalena starts beating his ass. I don't think Tan Dan saw the knee, I'll be honest.
That was a pretty fucking obvious knee. Unless Tan Dan was like literally right behind Maddalena. But yeah, that's unfortunate. In a scramble, Burns is lunging forward to try to get a takedown, and he just eats a knee. That's rough. Yeah.
Okay. Then we got Peter Yan Song Yadong. That was my guy Song, man. Put up a good fight. I thought he won the first round for sure. Peter's always a slow starter, though. Peter really turned around in the second, I thought. First round, though, Peter Yan was biting on every takedown attempt.
Like,
That was bad. I was like, what the fuck's going on here? Turned it around, got a win. I came out of this fight thinking Song Yadong, I like Benoit Saint-Denis. Benoit's 28, Song is 26. Both of these young men are going to be around. We saw some young...
Afforded themselves very well. but just a case of, not your time yet, kid.
Curtis Blaydes, Jalton Almeida. First of all, those were not 9 takedowns. Okay, I'm going to agree with Daniel Cormier, but these are mat returns. Second of all, at what point did you decide Jalton Almeida is definitely going to lose this fight? Because it was about a minute left in the second to first round where I was like, oh, he can't keep this up. Curtis Blaydes ain't putting up with this shit. He's gonna catch him. And like, this isn't Derek Lewis, man. Curtis Blaydes knows how to fucking like wrestle. So he started, when he stuffed him and started fucking hammering the hammer fist, I'm like, oh, we're done. I'm like, this is done. We're done here. Took him 30 seconds into round two. My man got exposed. Okay? My man got exposed, Mike. He got us come up with other ways of winning fucking fights. Because that was some fucking UFC 2 shit he was going for.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, Curtis Blaydes is a really good wrestler. And he's good for, as you mentioned, just, you know, exposing people and their weaknesses and letting you know whether you're really ready for the big time.
Yeah. Give Curtis Blaydes a title shot, man. Give him a title shot.
Title shot.
Ooh, yeah, why not?
That's well, because he's on a 1-fight win streak.
Who did he lose to?
Sergey Pavlovich in his last fight. Wow, almost a year ago.
Dude, he just beat. They were going to give Jalton Almeida a title shot. So Aspinall can't fight Sergey. Okay. He can't fight Cyril Gaw. Cyril Gaw's not getting a fucking title shot right now. Okay. That's another one. John Jones and Stipe won't fight him right now. What are we going to do? Just Tom Aspinall is going to sit at home? We got to fight somebody. Send him to Manchester, whenever that card is. There you go. Make it happen. Also, yeah, he has a win over the champion. Granted, the champion's knee exploded in the first 20 seconds of the fight, but he got a win over Aspinall. Just saying.
Well, according to the guy in the main events logic, that shouldn't count as a win. That should be a win for Tommy Aspinall.
I mean, how will he tell you that? Oh, yeah. That was it also. He wants to count it as a win, the one that he lost. That was the part where I'm like, what? What? These people are all idiots. Yeah, that was not great for Jalton. Macy Barber, Caitlin Sermonara. Shout out to Caitlin. We're all big fans, or at least I am, blonde fighter. Her fights aren't entertaining, though. Macy Barber now, Mike, 6 in a row. 6 in a row, and she just beat the number 4 ranked woman.
Dang, she was ranked number 4?
She was number... Macy was number 6. She just beat number 4. Number 2 and number 3 are fighting each other in a couple weeks. Blanchfield and Menon Friereau. So I don't know what we do, because they just announced Grasso and Shevchenko are going to host Tough. Are going to coach Tough starting in June, which me just doing some math here means these two are main eventing UFC Noche.
Now, just to make sure, Tough is starting in June, in like that's when they're airing it? Or are they actually filming it in June?
No, they're airing it in June, and that's a 12-week show.
Okay.
So let's do some math. 12 weeks, and they want to go to UFC, and then Noche card is in September.
She'd have to wait a minute.
Well, she's not even going to fight. The number one contender probably is going to be Aaron Blanchfield or Menon Friereau anyway. Like, what are we... I don't know how these women are healthy. Like, Grasso ain't had a cast on her hand in, like, a couple months. But...
Yo, you know what I just realized? So, I started looking at the women in the flyweight division. Mm-hmm. And, Aaron Blanchfield fights out of Hensel Gracie Academy. Mm. My job is right near Hensel Gracie Academy.
You gonna go meet Aaron Blanchfield?
I mean, at the time of days when I'm walking by the dojo to go to and from the F train, it's early in the morning, no one's there, and around the time that I'm walking back, it's like the kids' class, so I have no idea when the actual fighters are there.
But, I think super late at night or super early in the morning are the times.
Ugh, that sounds horrible.
I know, GSP always looked like he was going there late at night based on those countdown shows. Okay, yeah, Macy Barber, though. Nice win, man. Nice job. Then we got Kyler Phillips, big win over Pedro Munoz, man. It is hard to beat Pedro Munoz, and it is hard to beat Pedro Munoz 3 rounds to nothing. I totally skipped over Gamrot versus Dos Anjos, because that's another person. Hard to look good beating. And let me tell you, Gamrot did not look good beating him. That was boring as shit. But he got a win. He got a win. Yon Cutelaba came out dressed like the fucking Hulk. His paint is getting better with his body paint when he dresses like the Hulk at the weigh-ins. He's getting better paint. I appreciate that. He lost, though. Philippe Lenz took care of business. Michel Pereira kicked Michel Olakechik's ass in 61 seconds. Came out doing all this dancing and shit. It was great. And we talked about him, Mike. The Olympian, Robles d'Espagne. 18 seconds. Took care of Josh Parisian. 18 seconds. That is his, he is 5-0, and that was the second longest fight he's had. 18 seconds.
That's crazy.
That is, dude, that was like, whew, second fastest finish slash knockout by debuting heavyweight behind Todd Duffy icing that dude in 7 seconds. So.
And not surprisingly, the Cuban in Miami got a huge applause.
Oh, yeah. And he's definitely really 35 years old. Yeah, UFC's back next week with Toy Voivasa versus Tybura in front of no people.
Just one quick thing. I think you just forgot to mention it, Bobby. Shout out to Joanne, formerly Calderwood, or Joanne Wood, got a win in her retirement fight.
Yeah, big fans of JoJo here, man. Still one of the best tough moments is when they matched her up with some girl and she's like, oh, she gave me some carrots because I was hungry. And I was wondering, oh, she'd be wanting those carrots back, maybe. what a nice lady she was, man.
She really was. Well, she is. She's still with us. She's just retired.
All right. Let's talk about the other fucking... Oh, by the way, $14 million gate, 19,000 people. There was the weird Republican section in the middle of the show, which made me happy for not paying for this one yet again. You gotta life is beyond parody when this man comes out when they're playing Kid Rock, American Badass. Would I have felt better about Nick Bosa not like giggling like a schoolgirl when he shook Trump's hand? Yes, I would, Mike. I would feel better about that, quite frankly. The Barstool guy couldn't run fast enough to blow Trump. It was funny. he was like tripping over people to do it. They're showing me weird like men's right activist dudes I'm learning about, like Aiden Ross. Did not know that was a person. Candace Owens.
I know Candace Owens. I've heard of Aiden Ross.
I think he's some weird fucking like disciple of that. What's the misogynist with the sex trafficking? That one, the middling kickboxer.
Top G?
Yeah, the halfway decent kickboxer. That guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, Jesus, Top G. We're all doomed.
That's his nickname. I can't remember what
it is. I just want to say this. I say it all the time. They are severely overestimating their fan base and how conservative they are. Because, again, do the look at polling. One poll, UFC fan base leans slight left. Okay? Another poll, 55% conservative. Which, by the way, when you have a male-heavy audience, that's just normal. Because men as a whole skew conservative probably around that much.
Well, what's real crazy is that just how much of the broadcast, like, I gather that it was maybe, a minute for Trump's walkout. Like, he's been to a few events, but I don't think I've ever noticed them devoting that much time.
They've done it on the prelims. I think they were smart not to do it on the prelims right before the pay-per-view starts because people would just be like, well, I'm not paying for this. Yeah, I'm just watching Dana White walk this guy out there, and I'm like, there's a woman beater and a rapist. Confirmed, both of them. Here we are. Here we are. Here's the thing. I don't think Dana White really even cares about this man's politics on any level. I think he's just a whore. I think this guy used to kiss Harry Reid's ass when Harry Reid was the Democratic leader. Dana White just a whore, man. They're all star fuckers. That's it. That's all that's happening here. So, I'm just waiting for the one fighter to shit on Trump while he's there, And I want to hear all these fucking, you know, because so far the only person with any balls is Bill Burr's wife. You know, and just want to say, I want to hear the free speech people say that Trump, that, you know, that we need to ban this fighter from fighting.
Well, that's not how this works, Bobby. Yeah. It's freedom of speech. And so you hear something you don't like.
He's going to lose again. And it's going to be one of the more funny. The next day is going to be hilarious.
Well, you say that, Bobby, but all we need is for Joe Biden to have one bad mind fog during a speech, and there goes him winning.
Have you heard this other guy? He's got worse fucking cognitive. He's the one who actually has the cognitive decline. He doesn't know where he is. Anytime Trump talks, I'm like, they should not let him talk. There's not going to be any debates, by the way. Just letting you know that. There's not going to be any debates.
I don't want to watch that. That's going to be hard to watch on both ends.
Dude, my dude got out there and he crushed that State of the Union. You know he did well when they're like, oh, he had too much energy. This is the complaint. They're like, they realized they weren't facing a corpse.
Man, you think they gave him a little bump or something? You know?
I don't know. He's just old. Seems pretty functional to me. All right, man. Francis Ngannou got knocked out and ruined my Friday. All right. Ruined my Friday because I like Francis and seems like one of the few good people. And if you were celebrating that man getting knocked out.
You were Dana White?
I mean, there's a weird revisionist history there. Anthony Joshua was a good fighter, man. He caught Francis making sloppy mistakes, dropped him immediately when he went southpaw, dropped him again in the second. And the thing in boxing, man, where you just serve a motherfucker up after they stand up. That's one of those things where you're just like, yeah, maybe MMA is safer. You just like, you know, like maybe you do. I'm just going to say this. Man got at least $40 million minimum out of these two fights. And if he wants to fight again against Deontay Wilder for a bunch of money, go for it. If he wants to go to PFL and fight Henan Ferreira, go for it. Francis owes nothing to anybody. You know,
if it were me, and I had a choice between get $15 to $20 million to get knocked out by Deontay Wilder, or get like, I don't know, what's he gonna get in PFL? Million, 2 mil?
No, they're paying him at least the UFC $8 million minimum. His really? Opponent's gonna get $2 million.
Damn. I would still take the $15 to $20 million to get knocked out rather than maybe an assured win in PFL.
I mean, we're sure he's going to lose to Deontay Wilder? Deontay Wilder fought like a big fucking dumbass, too.
I'm just going to default to, like, the boxer is going to, like, the professional boxer is actually going to win.
Probably. Yeah. Big Francis. Dude, I had $20 on Big Francis because he's our guy. And then I hedged with a $10 bet by the fight going to decision because I'm like, well, surely Francis isn't getting knocked out. Fucking nope. Fucking nope. That's why, like, when Cheeto was gonna, I was telling my friends who don't know a lot about MMA, I'm like, Cheeto's not getting knocked out. Then again, I was very wrong yesterday about people getting knocked out. So, very wrong. And then the other thing we were excited for was Cedric Doumbé. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck happened there. But I'll just say this. Mark Goddard never did anything. Doesn't do anything wrong. So, shut up, Doumbé. That's it.
Don't call attention to the little owie wowie you have.
Dude, I guess he had glass in his foot or something, but like, bro, you can't just keep pointing to something being wrong with your foot. That's the end of the fucking fight. Like, I don't know. Don't know, man. Don't know. We're going to pick this terrible UFC main event only, but first, news. Jake Paul's going to fight Mike Tyson. That's happening.
Why not?
This is just a test run for live sports to make sure it works before UFC, before dude shows up, WWE Raw shows up, huh?
I am very intrigued by the fact that this Jake Paul Tyson fight is going to be on Netflix. Mm. It'll be nice because I won't have to pay anything extra to watch it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Netflix has ever done live sports before, so I think this will be the first foray into it, no?
Were they doing a live show with... they've done live before, though, right? They did live with... One of Chris Rock's... The Last Santa special was live.
Yeah.
Didn't Chelsea Handler had a whole ass show or something? Am I making this up?
Chelsea Handler did have a show. I don't know if it was on Netflix.
I thought she did. No, she
Chelsea lately was on E.
No, I thought she had a show on Netflix. Or maybe there was just a thing they were talking about.
I know that there was also this like cooking show that was live on Netflix that came out not too long ago. I know that. But I think this is definitely going to be, I think, the biggest live thing they've done so far.
I mean, they're going to fucking, this is going to print money. Yeah. That's good for them. I do not think Mike Tyson's winning, for what it's worth.
You know, you're not that crazy to think an almost 60-year-old man isn't going to be a kid in his 20s. Even if that man is Mike Tyson.
I'm trying to see if there's a line on this thing. Let me see if they're going to go that far out. Sports. Boxing. Come on now. Give me something. Okay. I guess there isn't one.
That's still pretty far out.
Yeah. Minus 500. For Jake Paul.
No shit.
That's really? That's, I feel a lot of people are about to bet on Mike Tyson. Mike's like 325? I might throw You're like, I might like that one. Fuck.
Well, I guess I gotta wonder, are they testing for this fight?
It's boxing. They don't test anybody for anything. Yeah, and then looks like Mark Mattson got cut. The UFC fighter Mark Mattson, the Olympian. I think he lost one fight. I think. So. He's old. Maybe two. I honestly don't remember. He lost two fights. So. That's that. Got into this game late, but put on some entertaining fights. All right. Before we pick this one fucking fight. Let's do our top fives.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. By the way, Bo Nickel being on the pay-per-view main card for UFC 300 is fucking ridiculous.
Why is that? Is that like, wait, I've been seeing people talk about that. When they say it's ridiculous, what do they mean? Like bad ridiculous? Like,
yeah.
Bo Nickel's an up-and-comer.
I mean, Jiří Prochazka versus Alexander Rakic is on the fucking prelims. And there's a good chance the winner's getting a title shot. So I think that is the...
And I'm going to assume that is the featured prelim.
Aljamain Sterling versus Calvin Kattar is another one.
On the prelim.
On the prelims.
Wow.
Kayla Harrison versus Holly Holm is another one on the prelims.
Okay, all right. Maybe that one doesn't belong on the main card. Okay.
I mean, fucking... They announced Money Moicano versus Jalen Turner for that card.
Who is Bo Nickel fighting?
Some bum.
Is it just like a nobody?
He's fighting Cody Brundage. He's okay. He has no chance. He has no chance.
Okay, Brundage. Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Also on the early prelims, Cody Garbrandt, Davis and Figueiredo, Bobby Green, Jim Miller, Jessica Andrade, Marina Rodriguez, and Jalen Turner versus Money Moicano.
I will say,
it's a good card.
There's not like a stratosphere level main event on this card.
Yeah.
But Jesus, this is a card full of like B to B pluses easily throughout the card.
Main card's got fucking Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway. Like Oliveira and Tsarukyan, Wei Li versus Yan Zhonan, that should be in China. Honestly, they should have announced McGregor and Chandler for this so long ago. It's not even a fucking, like, I don't know what we're doing, but whatever. Whatever. We'll save my UFC 200 to 300 is a worse stretch than UFC to 100 to 200 conversation for right before 300. All right, let's do our top five, which in this case, because this week, in addition to being 311, it's also 314, which is Pi Day. And rather than saying our top five pies, because Mike and I realize between the two of us, 10 pies might be just how many we can name. We are just going to go.
Maybe we rattled off 7 or 8.
I mean, at a certain point, we're just like, when I said chocolate cream, I'm like, that's not even a real pie. Okay. That's just not even a real fucking pie. Okay. At this point. And then we're starting to debate if a cheesecake is a pie. And I'm like, well, okay. Fucking, let's just go. All right. Top five desserts. And this is going to be a quick one because I don't know how much analysis we can really give unless one of us says, what is that? I'm going to go first with cookies and cream ice cream.
That's a very good favorite.
It's ice cream with Oreos mashed up in it, right? Like, what are we fucking even talking about? And in terms of fast food items, you should consider an Oreo McFlurry in general. That is, that might be the best thing McDonald's makes, man. Okay, it's up there. Hot nuggets are up there, and so are hash browns. McDonald's gets a bad rap. They got some good shit. But Oreo McFlurry, in general, though, I'm saying Oreo, you know, cookies and cream ice cream, though. That is my, that's my jam.
Speaking about ice cream, in the latest season of Foods That Made America, latest season just came out, and one of the episodes was on ice cream. So you should probably give that a watch if you can find it, Bob. Going on to my first one. So I also do some combinations when it comes to my desserts. So two of them are going to be a little reductive. One of them is a hot brownie topped with vanilla ice cream. Two of my favorites are desserts that are a la mode. So hot brownie with vanilla ice cream. If you have specifically Häagen-Dazs French vanilla ice cream, now we're cooking with oil.
All right, I'm gonna go pecan pie. Just I like pecan pie a lot. If we were doing favorite pies, that's number one for me. It's also apparently really hard to make compared to the other pies. Learned that recently.
Really?
Apparently it's like as a burning the sugar is a whole like thing you gotta worry about. And like if you put the eggs in too soon or some shit happens. I don't know how to bake anything but bread, and sweets I know nothing. So go ahead, sir.
Sticking with pies and also with my a la mode theme, hot apple pie with, again, Häagen-Dazs French vanilla ice cream.
I was going to say that one just to fuck with you because I knew the second you said it was another one a la mode, I'm like, I should just say apple pie because this motherfucker's going to say apple pie in a second here.
That's what's now, about but here's the thing, though. You give me just apple pie, get the fuck out of here with that bullshit unless it's McDonald's apple pie.
I was gonna
then
say
that you know, I then that I could eat without ice cream.
Well, I like what's it called, like apple crumble. The ones like the crumbly apple pies, though. They got some see, those are good stuff, man. I am going with, I believe the style of cheesecake is the New York style of cheesecake. I think that's what I'm going with.
What exactly is a New York style of cheesecake?
I was trying to look this up.
Is that a cheesecake that has the actual crust?
I think the crust, I'm looking this up now that we're talking about it.
Because my mother a few months ago, my girlfriend Jacqueline was offering to make cheesecake for her birthday. And my mother was being real picky. It was like, I want my cheesecake with no crust, to which I looked at her like, what the hell are you talking about? Cheesecake can't come without a crust.
So, and I don't know. A New York cheesecake uses a cream cheese base, also incorporating heavy cream or sour cream. The typical New York cheesecake is rich and has a dense, smooth, creamy consistency.
Wait.
As opposed to a Chicago
style. Wait, there's another way to do cheesecake.
Chicago style cheesecake is a baked cream cheese, cream cheese version that is firm on the outside. Oh, I think like the top has got like a maybe like a firmness to it. I don't know. These cheesecakes are often made in a greased cake pan and are relatively fluffy in nature. The crust used with this soft style, they use shortbread for the crust. I think New York's was a graham cracker. I don't know, man. A cheesecake with a graham crust.
Graham
cracker crust is my jam. There's a lot of types of cheesecake, apparently.
Well, shoot, we have some overlap because I had cheesecake as one of my.
Well, think of another one. Save it for us.
All right. As I'm thinking of another one, I'll move on to my next one. A nice piece of tiramisu.
Yeah,
with a nice cup of black coffee.
That was about right to come out of my mouth. Right there. Tiramisu was about to come right out of my fucking mouth right there.
Look, I've always enjoyed a nice piece of tiramisu, but I had to spend 2 weeks in France for work a few months ago, and the fucking French apparently love tiramisu because that is a staple freaking dessert item at pretty much any restaurant you go to. And man, I had tiramisu like maybe 10 times in a 14-day span. And yeah, it's fucking amazing. I love it.
Because you just said the one I was going to fucking say. What was I going to? Oh, I would like an oatmeal cookie. Like the Levain one, though. Was Levain the one that's in New York? It's right by our friend Hillary's place. It's like a chocolate chip oatmeal cookie, I think.
Magnolia yeah. Bakery?
No, it's called Levain. Levain Bakery chocolate chip walnut cookie. That shit's amazing. I thought there was oatmeal in it.
You started saying oatmeal. I'm like, that too. Come on,
I fucking love oatmeal cookies. They're the best. If they didn't have raisins in them, none of you motherfuckers would complain. Okay? That's what it is people give shit about, is the raisin part of it. Oatmeal cookies are delicious.
That's gross. Delicious. Yeah, raisins? No. Don't try to sneak.
Delicious.
Like, let's not try to sneak, like, you know, healthy shit into my, you know, really bad for you, desserts. Trying to think of another one. Well, you can never go wrong with a nice cupcake, specifically a double chocolate chip cupcake. I feel like you have to get those quickly out of when they come out of the oven. Can't really get them when they've been around for a while, then they get a bit too hard. But a nice, fresh out of the oven, double chocolate chip cupcake, amazing.
All right, and finally, one of my single favorite things to eat, period. It's a San Francisco tradition. Been around for like 100 years. It's called an It's It. It's an ice cream sandwich of sorts. My favorite variety is the cappuccino flavored one. So it's large scoop of cappuccino ice cream sandwiched between two old-fashioned oatmeal cookies dipped in dark chocolate. I fucking love It's It. I think they just got it at some supermarkets finally somewhere on the East Coast, I thought was getting East Coast area. New York City area. The following places have it, Mike. All right? And I'm not kidding. This is I love this shit. Fresh Direct. Don't know what that is. This is in Brooklyn, Brooklyn and Manhattan, the Bedford Cheese Shop, Green Grape Provisions in Brooklyn, Pacific Standard in Brooklyn, Piccolo Cafe in Manhattan, Rippers at Rockaway Beach, and then Forager's Market. These are the places you can get It's It. I thought Wegmans was getting it too, but guess not.
What's the name of this shit? It's It?
It's It, like IT apostrophe S It. Strong recommendation. It is one of my favorite things to eat, period. I know you're not an oatmeal cookie kind of guy, but just a combination of all these things together, fucking delicious. I'm getting hungry for that. That's my last one. It's It.
All right. Last one for me. I can't believe, this is the last one I thought about, and I think it's mainly because I've never really thought of it as a dessert, because growing up, my mother would always serve it with a side of steak as well. Mm-hmm. But obviously, when I mention it, there's no way it can't be. Like, it is a dessert because it's how sweet it is. But it's literally one of my favorite foods as well. So it's not just a top five dessert for me, but it's fried sweet plantains. I can eat like four or five bananas of it if you know, I wasn't almost 40 and my family had a history of diabetes. If not for those two things, I would still be eating those constantly and just running through a whole bunch of canola oil in my house every day.
Fair enough. I'm a big plantains fan too. Is it a dessert? Is that considered a dessert? I feel like in the middle of just Cuban food sometimes, they got plantains on the side of like the entree.
Well, all right. So like if you're going to a restaurant, right? Like, you know, let's say you got some white folk going to a restaurant and, you know, like, hey, let's go get some Latin food. They're going to have the plantains probably at the end of the meal. Like, Me, I eat that shit right with the chicken, the rice and beans, right? But I mean, the shit is sweet as hell. The shit is a fucking, that's a dessert, all right? Like, you're not supposed to be eating like a whole plate of sweet plantains. That's supposed to be something that's, it's really decadent. It's really sweet, especially if you get them when they're really ripe. That you shouldn't be eating too much of, to be honest.
I'm more of a green plantain kind of guy, so you can make, you know, the plantain chips. But that's just me.
I just made totones last night.
You like made them from scratch, or do you like buy like the? I have no idea how to make this shit. To be honest, that's why
you don't know how to make totones.
I don't know. Plantains aren't that
surprisingly
common.
Simple, Bobby.
I feel like
it's surprisingly simple. Look, here's what it is. First, get yourself green plantains. Obviously, you cut the sides. You peel the skin. You're gonna have to take a knife and like cut through it because you can't fucking peel that shit like a banana. You rip the thing off, and then you slice each you slice the banana or the plantain into like maybe 3/4 to an inch in thickness, right? So then from there, you take vegetable canola oil, heat it up, you put it in. You don't mash it yet. Here's the thing. The first time you're frying it, you just put it in just like that. Put it on one side, flip it over after a bit, take them out. Then with your masher, then there you mash them so that you can get the disc. Then you fry it again. Then there you go.
I think last time I was there and I was staying with you, we had tortones. Pretty much any meal I went out for had some version of those. We had like fucking like arepas with totones, just some random Colombian food with totones. Yeah, I'm all about that shit. All right, so those are our top five desserts. Let's make our pick. UFC in the fucking warehouse. Just some fights happening, and then one of the more charismatic heavyweights they have is fighting in front of fucking cockroaches.
Yep.
Tai Tuivasa taking on Marcin Tybura. Last time we saw Mr. Tybura fight, he got his shit rocked by the heavyweight champion of the, or the, I guess, interim heavyweight champion of the world, Mr. Tommy Aspinall. Beat his ass in 73 seconds. I want to say, was that Tom Aspinall's first fight back from the knee injury? It was Tom Aspinall's first fight back from the knee injury.
Yes.
Last July. Since then, Marcin was supposed to face Tai Tuivasa at UFC 298. Instead, it got moved to main event this thing for some ungodly reason. Like, why?
It doesn't say
why
for what particular reason it was moved. Just it was that it was moved.
Yeah. Sure. I'm sure they all appreciated that. Tai Tuivasa lost three straight to just a bunch of guys fighting in title fights, bro. Cyril Gane, Sergey Pavlovich. Then he got Ezekiel choked by Alexander Volkov. I think he's a slight favorite, you said?
Slight favorite for Volkov. You know, no shame. Not Volkov, sorry. I was looking at Tuivasa's fight record. Yeah. Slight favorite for Tuivasa. I believe he is a minus 125 favorite.
Who you got?
I'm going to go with Tuivasa on this one. This is a pick'em fight. I think the odds are pretty spot on. I just think Tuivasa is probably just going to be the one that's standing. This is going to be a stand-up affair, see who has a better chin. It's going to be a real shame that he's going to be doing a shoey with maybe, what, 50, 60 people in the audience? How many people are in the Apex?
It's an exaggeration. I think it says it holds 100-something. I've never seen that many people there. It's all like family and friends. Man, dude, it costs $1,400. Like I wanted to go. I had $200 for that, Mike. I'm telling you, $200 I'll go. Just saying. Mark's got Tuivasa. I'll take Tuivasa too. I told you beforehand. I was leading Tuivasa. Yeah, let's go Tuivasa. I think right now you got a 1-game lead on. Or is it 1 or 2-game lead?
On Mark. On a 2-game lead on yourself and Mark. After my 8-0 performance, I'm now 17-7. You and Mark are 15-9, and Chalk is bringing up the rear at 14.
We were all hanging around 500 before that. We weren't looking so hot to begin the year.
We all of us needed last week.
You know what it is? You go in 8-0 and only getting one game, like picking up one game on me, and like two on Mark. It's like when the A's went 20 in a row back in 02, but then the fucking Angels went like won like 18 of 20 during the same stretch. Where it was just like, well, okay, they're still there. They're still there, too. Yeah, the rest of this card, not worth mentioning. Unless you're betting money on these fight cards, I don't know why you would watch. Just put it that way.
Yes.
That'd be the only reason. I think that the only one that I'd be mildly interested in is Pani Kianzad, because she's fucking Iranian. And Macy Chison. That's where I would be at. But yeah. And I guess Barbarina and Mearshot we've seen fight each about 30 fucking times. So there's that. There is that. Yeah, not great. Let's do stuff we like and call it a day. I watched Jack Reacher, the movie. I'd already seen that one before. Have you gone down the rabbit hole of what movies are free on YouTube with ads?
No.
They have a ton of movies. Just a ton of movies. And if you want to watch the Twilight movies, all six of those motherfuckers, or however many they're all sitting there for what it's worth.
Is there a movies tab on YouTube?
So if you go to YouTube and type in Jack Reacher, just for the sake of argument. And then like click the movie one. That says free with ads. You see that? Should be at the top.
No. Oh, I see movie.
Yeah.
Oh, there we are.
And then you go down and you pick YouTube movies and TV as like the channel. Oh. This is advice for everybody at this point. And then you just go free primetime movies and view all. I don't know. You can watch 2012. You can watch... was it Employee of the Month? Whatever the fuck that is. Tremors, Longest Yard, Ghostbusters. There's all sorts of shit happening. Angelina Jolie and Tomb Raider. The Dennis and Menta Street Fighter movie. I might watch.
It's it's still great that like Jack Reacher is in the books is like this hulking 6'5" dude and fucking Leprechaun.
Yeah, the TV show Tom version. Cruise they got the right guy. But I watched the movie. I'd already seen the first movie. I saw that. And then I saw there was a second Jack Reacher movie. So I was like, fuck it, I'll watch that. It's not bad either. I like those movies. Tom Cruise generally doesn't let me down in a movie theater. He'll let me down in every other aspect. The Last Dragon is free on this, by the way.
Bruce Leroy?
Yeah, I'm looking right at him. Last Dragon, free with ads.
Now you know that movie don't hold up. Right, because the plot of that movie is fucking insane, if you think about it.
I'm sure. The X-Files movie, Patch, if you want to cry, Patch Adams is the movie for you. That'll get you. Some random, the movie about Paige and WWE is in there for free. No Country
Fighting
for Old Men.
For my Fighting With My Family?
Yeah, the Addams Family original movie. Big fan of that movie. I love that movie as a kid. Anyway, I watched both the second, I finished Mr. and Mrs. Smith, by the way. This week, you finished that show?
I still haven't finished watching it. Like after I watched a few episodes with my girlfriend, and then after she started watching it on her own, like I just haven't gone around to seeing the rest.
I'm not sure I would have ridden the whole thing out if it wasn't Gambino. To be honest, I'm not sure. Let me put this clear. I don't think I would have given the show a chance if it wasn't Gambino. Let me start with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's okay. It was fine. The show was fine. Running Man is in this film. Dude, I'm watching so many of these free movies when this is over. I was gonna go down the line here. Yeah, that was it. I watched a Jack Reacher movie though, and it was good, and the sequel was good, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith is fine. That's it. What about you?
Very nice. No, there's nothing in particular that I'm gonna say the stuff I like this week. I think for me, it's just a condolences to a I think a very seminal artist in Japan anime, Akira Toriyama, the creator of such classics as Dr. Slump, Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, you know, I guess Dragon Ball GT as well, along with a number of other things such as the designs for the Dragon Quest games and for Chrono Trigger. He passed away on March 1st from, I think it was a brain aneurysm. It got announced, I think, on Friday. And, you know, as we get older, and I think as our parents have gotten older, anytime I think we see someone who passes who's younger than our parents, whereas I think when we were younger, it's like, oh, wow, okay, 60, 68, whatever. Now I see 68 and I think, man, that's too young. And especially when you consider someone like Toriyama, that at first I was surprised he was only 68 because Dragon Ball is celebrating its 40th year anniversary this year. So when you think about that, this man has been, you know, famous for that long, since like 1984. You know, the fact that he's only 68, it was surprising. And when you consider that his franchise Dragon Ball is still going strong, still has a manga that's still ongoing each month, and a new series Dragon Ball Daima is just coming out in September, I do kind of feel like there's a big hole, because there was so much more that, you know, Toriyama sensei could do, and so much more that we're going to be missing out on now that he's gone. Me personally, one of the first animes I remember watching as a kid were the subtitles to the Cell Saga that were on VHS that my brother Joseph would bring home from the like the one small little like Japan anime store that you could find in New York City in 1993, called Octopus Inc. in Chinatown. And that was one of my first forays into anime, and I'd been a huge fan of Dragon Ball Z, that much like a lot of kids my age were, since I was 7 or 8 years old, so even a lot sooner than a lot of other American kids were when they got introduced to it by Toonami in 1999. I don't often get genuinely sad for the passing of someone I've never met before, but this one hit me pretty hard on Friday. And weirdly enough, I'm still at times when I think about it, or I see some article or some meme about him, it, you know, makes me a little sad. But then again, you know, you got to think about all the things that he contributed and he gave us, and you got to be appreciative of all of that. So the person I like is Akira Toriyama this week.
Yeah, lots of. Memorials isn't the right word, but a lot of people did a lot of, you know, made references to, and a lot of the WWE roster, I know, big fans. New Day obviously had the Dragon Ball gear at WrestleMania. I know
Rhea Ripley dressed up as Vegeta.
Yeah.
Won, I think during WrestleMania 1 year.
Yeah, Tia Trinidad, Zelina Vega, not Tia Trinidad, Zelina Vega, my bad. Her and Naomi did that thing where you're like, I don't know, I don't watch
Dragon Ball. The fusion
dance. They did the fusion dance. That was pretty cool. They did at a house show. You know, these people are all like, you know, got influenced a lot of things. So like, he's gone, but like, his legacy is well secured. It's, you know, people can be talking about his creation for a very long time. Yeah. Well put, my friend. Remember I had the Dragon Ball game when it came out back in the day? There was a video game. There was the one that it became very expensive because you couldn't buy it anywhere else.
Dragon Ball Legends?
It was like an older game, right? Where it was like, it was a one-on-one.
For the PlayStation?
Yeah. And he was like one-on-one. It was like a play PvP game, right? One of those. I think they're all like that, actually, right? Aren't all those games basically like that?
There was one Dragon Ball game. Actually, it may not be the one you're thinking about because that one never even came out in the States. It was one where you could actually fight 3-on-3.
Wasn't there one where you had to, like, there was like a story mode, though, too? I thought I played one of those on my modded Xbox or something. I might be inventing this in my head.
There were a few that had a story mode on them. So you're not crazy when you say that.
Yeah, we had. I remember that we had a Dragon Ball game. My brother played the shit out of it. Anyway, rest in peace to the gentleman. We'll be back next week. Where I'll be honest, we're in between Apex cards. I mean, there's gonna be some nonsense next week. It's gonna be some serious nonsense on the podcast next week because. I'm not sure we could spend an hour and a half me and Mike talking about why we think Rose Namajunas is going to beat Amanda Ribas. Like, I got about 5 minutes for that, buddy. Just letting you know that right now. Till next week, I was Dr. Law, and that was Lavender Gooms. Thank you all so much for listening. And hell, man, go watch a version of DBZ. It's out there. I'd say it's on YouTube movies and TV, but I didn't see DBZ. I saw 8 seasons of Naruto. It's on there, for what it's worth. Not the same thing, but go watch some DBZ. See y'all next week. Peace.
See ya. I'll even give Dragon Ball GT a chance again.
Yo, you know what we could have done for stuff we like? You know what March 10th was?
Mario Day?
Mario Day. We could have done our favorite. There's been enough Mario games that we could have come up, or like Mario. There's definitely enough Mario games, actually. Especially with Mario Kart, Mario Tennis, Mario Aces Golf. There's a lot of Mario games. You know?
Do it next week.
That might be. We have to do a few top five lists. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Peace.
Yeah, no problem.